Here's another message from Pastor Peter Shirley from Life Christian Church.
Well, I'm going to talk for a few weeks about one of the most important things that we can have a revelation of in our lives, and that is God's love. Boy, put that there for a second. Listen, the simple truth is this: God loves you. And I don't know who you are this morning. I don't know what has brought you here. I don't know if you have a revelation of God's love in your life. But I'll say it again. God loves you. I want to turn to the book. And there's a great prayer from the Apostle Paul to this church. It's his letter to this church in a place called Ephesus. And he says this in verse 17 of chapter 3. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. They are incredible words, and I don't think we fully appreciate the depth of that. God's love is wide and long and high and deep. God's love is immeasurable. I think we make a mistake at times of thinking of God's love towards us. We equate it in the same way that we do human love, which is kind of given to a lot of different emotional extremes. But God's love for you, friends, is so deep. And I think perhaps many of us this morning need a fresh revelation of how much God loves us. Maybe you this morning need a fresh revelation of how much God loves you. I wonder how many of us would dare to wake up and look in the mirror of a morning and go, God loves me. It's a good exercise though. And it's a very revealing exercise. God loves me. Friends, I want you to understand this very clearly today. The very essence of our Christian faith is not about our love for God. Even though we express that in a variety of ways, and that's what we bring to God and as an expression of our worship, we demonstrate our love to Him. But I would suggest this morning, that every aspect of our Christian life must be expressed, must be lived out of a revelation of how much God loves us. 1 John 4 and 9 says this: this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is one of my favorite verses in the whole of the Bible. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I love that. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. Let me put it in layman's terms. It is not your love for God that makes this Christian thing work. It is God's love for you. God would say to you this morning, friends, it's not what you do for me. It's what I have already done for you. Can you receive that this morning? Because our focus so often in the Christian life is about what I can do to earn God's favor and to earn God's blessing and to earn God's approval, to make me actually feel good about myself in regards to God. And so we make it all about our own efforts. We try to do more, or we try to be more. Friends, those things will never work. In fact, those things will become hard work if we don't have a revelation of how much God loves us, and if our response to Him is not out of a revelation of His love for us, if that makes sense. 1 John 4 and 19 says, we love because He first loved us. We love because He first loved us. Our capacity to love, not just God, but our capacity to love those around us, all comes out of a revelation of understanding God's love towards us. And friends, I would suggest this morning, if we don't fully comprehend how much God loves us, then our Christian lives are going to be hard work. More than that, I would suggest, if you don't fully understand how much God loves you, your Christian life will just be disciplined living. It'll be about how disciplined you are to maintain a lifestyle that you think is pleasing and honoring to God. How disciplined you are to keeping His word. Disciplined religion. Friends, our love for Him must be a response of understanding His love for us. Because so often, way too easily, we can become so spiritually exhausted because we make it all about us doing things for God. And we try hard and we try and hard and we try and hard because we have created in our mind some kind of standard that we think is up here that God requires. That is not the case. God loves you. He just loves you because He loves you. He loves you so much He sent His Son Jesus to die as an atoning sacrifice for your sins. He just loves you. That's the value He places on you. And you've got to get this into your heart. You've got to get it into your head so that we don't knock ourselves out thinking that our job every single day when we wake up is to try and please God and earn His love. He just loves you because He loves you. Because when it becomes hard work and when we make it about our love for God and trying to keep our love and express our love towards God, the first thing you're going to lose is your joy. And I'm not talking about a superficial emotion. I'm talking about something from the depth of your spirit that just you just know I am loved of God. And I'm secure in Him. Not because of anything that I've done, because of what He's done. That's the roots of true spiritual joy, that assurance that you have in Him. But when we just work hard to be disciplined religious people, so often when it becomes hard work, we will lose our joy. We make it such hard work that we become miserable. And I get really sad for Christians who have actually become the most miserable people in the world because they've exchanged the bondage of sin for the bondage of religion. I meet them all the time. People who have a weight upon their shoulder that God didn't put there. And they walk around actually under a cloud. And when you try to drill into what that cloud is, what that heaviness is, the heaviness of what is what they have imposed upon themselves. Their self-imposed expectation of what they think they need to do and to be before God. I want to release you of that this morning and help you understand that God just loves you. Are you getting it? God loves you. I want you to know the fullness of joy that God wants for you. I want you to know this morning that God loves you just as much when you're having a bad day and a bad week and feel so disconnected from Him as when you're just having the best week and I could sing a million worship songs because God is just so good and the sun is shining and the grass is green and the flowers are budding and the birds are singing. Friends, I want you to be people who have not a plastered on smile but a joy that is infectious. Not because you've woken up in the morning and think this is the facade that I need to put on. But there is something that is indescribable that you just carry a radiance that is this security we have knowing that I am loved of God. I am loved of God, that God loves me. Friends, when we have that kind of revelation of God, not determined by anything that we do. When we can simply get it through our thick Aussie skulls that God loves me because He loves me because He created me. He breathed life into my body. He delights in me so much so that He sent His Son Jesus to restore me to a right relationship with God again, in spite of anything that I've done. When we have that kind of revelation, that's when we discover something incredible about the fullness of God. Let's read the key text again. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. And again, notice the connection between power and love there. To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Don't understand it. I don't get it. I can't rationalize it, but I know it. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I'm going to read verse 19 from the Amplified. That you may really come to know, practically through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. We love to talk about the fullness of God. We love to talk about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And what I want to help you understand today is that the key to the fullness of God is understanding God's love for you. It's what Paul is writing. You want to know the fullness of His power, the fullness of His being, the fullness of who it is God has called you to be, then stop and pause and recognize that God just loves you. He just loves you. He doesn't love what you do for Him. He just loves you. And God would say, stop making it such hard work. God would say, you don't need to impress me. God would say, I just love you. I just love you. And this is a key to understanding what the fullness of God and the fullness of the Holy Spirit is about. Having this revelation of God's love for me. And if, friends, if you can truly grasp the height and the depth and the length and the width of God's love, that is the key, as Paul writes, to becoming a body filled and flooded with God Himself. All the fullness of God's peace, all the fullness of God's love, all the fullness of God's care, all the fullness of God's joy, all the fullness of God's compassion, His grace and His wisdom and His power. The key to unlocking that in you is understanding and having this revelation of how much God loves you. And can I tell you, the benefits go on and on and on and on and on. It is not reward for effort. That's how our human minds think. And that's how things are often get done in the world. It's reward for effort. This kind of unfathomable love, this immeasurable love, that God just loves me because He loves me. It messes with our heads. But friends, I'm going to keep repeating it because you've got to get it into your head today. God loves you. Not only does He love you, He loves everything about your life. He loves your marriage. He loves you. He loves your children. He loves your strengths. He loves your weaknesses. He loves you when you're walking close to Him. He loves you when you're far away from Him. There is nothing that you can do in your life that would make Him love you any less or any more. His love for you is perfect. His love for you is complete. So stop trying to earn it. And maybe the key that you need to get closer to God, and maybe even for some of you this morning to cross that threshold of faith where you can trust God for the first time, is understanding it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about who He is and what our wonderful, awesome God has done to draw us to Himself in sending His Son, Jesus, the ultimate expression of love, that sacrifice for you and for me. Friends, we've got to get it into our head. We've got to get it into our hearts. He loves you when you're walking close to Him. He loves you when you're far away from Him. Romans 8 and 38, for I'm convinced, this is what the Apostle Paul writes, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Deuteronomy 31 says this, the Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. And listen to this. Somebody needs to hear this morning. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Friends, God says, He promises, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. God's love for you will never change. God doesn't just like you on a good day. God loves you unconditionally. Can I hear an amen? He doesn't just care about some things in your life. He doesn't just care about the you that shows up on Sunday. God is interested in every area and every aspect of your life. He's interested in you when you're good. He's interested in you when you're bad. Here's a great passage that encourages many of us. Romans 5 and 8, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Again, it's not about our performance. It's about God's perfection. It's about God making a way. God is interested in you being all that He has created you to be. And the key to unlocking that is understanding the depth of His love for you. God, as I said, is not just interested in your Sunday morning you. He's interested in your Monday to Saturday you as well. He's interested in your emotional life, your physical life, not just your spiritual life. God is interested in you discovering the fullness of all He has called you to be. I would suggest this morning. You will never know the fullness of God until you understand the depth of God's love for you. I want to do something. We did this a few years ago where I drew a parallel between two key figures in the New Testament. Two of Jesus' closest disciples were Peter and John. And as we read the account of the events that took place on the upper room, the night that Jesus was betrayed, we have this really interesting contrast between Peter and John. Again, two of his closest disciples. And so here they are sharing this last meal together. And as you read of the account in John's gospel, it's an interesting time. It's a confusing time. There's a lot of heated exchange and a lot of misunderstanding going on. And it's an interesting picture that we have. And we pick up the story in John 13. Judas, just prior to this, has been exposed as the one who would betray Jesus, and he's left. And Jesus says this in verse 33, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." And Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now?" And listen to these words, "I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." So there's Peter. Peter, the one who declares his love for Jesus. "Jesus, I love you. I love you so much, Jesus, that I will lay my life down for you." That is Peter declaring his love for Jesus. Jesus sees through it, and Jesus knows Peter's character very, very well. And he says, "Well, Peter, really? Will you really do that? Let me tell you, by the end of the day, you're going to disown me three times." Must have been a crushing blow to Peter's pride and his affirmation. "Jesus, I love you. I'm going to demonstrate my love for you." Imagine the failure Peter would have felt at the end of the day. But at the same time that we have Peter declaring his love for Jesus, we also read these great words. Let's back up to verse 21. "After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, 'I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me.' His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which one of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Verse 23 says, one of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved. In John's gospel, you have that repeated five times. The disciple whom Jesus loved. The disciple whom Jesus loved. And in the upper room here, we have this great contrast of two attitudes or two responses towards Jesus. Firstly, you have Peter with his self-professed love for Jesus, saying, "Jesus, I would die for you. Jesus, I will follow you to the end. The strength of my relationship, Jesus, with you will be demonstrated in what I do for you." And he failed. Then we have John, and the Bible describes him on five occasions as the disciple whom Jesus loved. But think about this. John is described as the disciple whom Jesus loved on five occasions, all in John's gospel. John is writing this about himself. I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. Think about that. We think, that's a bit of an arrogant thing to say, isn't it? I'm the disciple who Jesus, and he wrote about himself in his own gospel and said it five times. And there's Peter over in the corner saying, "Jesus, I would die for you." And then he sees the disciple whom Jesus loved, John's own description of himself, leaning up against Jesus. One is talking about what he is going to do for Jesus. "Jesus, I would die for you." The other one is talking about what Jesus has done for him. I'd tell you, that's not arrogance, that's revelation. It wasn't that Jesus loved John more than any of the other disciples. It was just that John actually got it. I get it. I get it. And you know how we know he got that? Because if you fast forward to the cross, guess who's the only one there at the foot of the cross in the darkest moment? It's not Peter. Peter has fled. He's denied Jesus and he's gone. The one disciple who is mentioned at being at the foot of the cross is John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. The one who had this revelation of how much Jesus loved him, he's there at the foot of the cross. There is no other disciple there. In the darkest hour of this story, Jesus crucified, none of the other disciples are around standing at the cross. John is faithful. John is consistent. John is still hanging in there when everything else seems lost, because the strength of his faith was not his profession of his love for Jesus. The strength of his faith was a revelation of how much Jesus loved him. Can I hear an amen this morning? And friends, we are going to struggle. We are going to be inconsistent in our faith. We're going to be up and down in our walk with Jesus until we learn to see ourselves in the same way. That you are the disciple that Jesus loves. That Peter Shirley is the disciple that Jesus loves. That I am the disciple that Jesus loves. Friends, that you are the husband that Jesus loves. That you are the wife that Jesus loves. That you are the parent that Jesus loves. That you are the grandparent that Jesus loves. That you are the child that Jesus loves. That you are the business person that Jesus loves. That you are the student that Jesus loves. Friends, can I tell you this? God loves you. And you got to get a hold of that, because it will transform the way that you live for him. In the darkest hour, Peter is gone. But here is John standing fast because he had this wonderful revelation that Jesus loves me. So here's the big question this morning. Do you know that Jesus loves you? And I'm not talking about a head knowledge. I'm talking about, have you experienced this for yourself? That's what Paul says. You know, this is experience that surpasses knowledge. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I can't rationalize it, but I have just experienced this love. Do you feel it in your life? Do you experience it in your circumstances? Do you see it played out in your life in regards to your responses and your reactions? Does it impact every area of your life, or is it something that you just turn up and sing a few songs about every Sunday morning? Or is it, I'm just trying to live for Him. I'm trying to do my best to follow Him. I'm just trying to do the best that I can to work hard and hard and be more disciplined at this Christian thing. Friends, it's not about us doing, it is about us responding. I look at my children, and a natural response for a child when they know that they are loved is to love in return. I experience love from my children that was established when my children discovered that their dad really loves them. Make sense? And in the same way towards God, when we have a revelation that God loves us, all the good works in the world amount to very little if they're not a response to God loving us. You see, when we have a revelation of how much Jesus has done for us, how much God loves us, that He truly loves us, we can't help but return that love to Him. One of the best ways we do that is by loving others. But it's not about us running programs and I say, come on, guys, we've got to get involved, so let's do it. And I put the hard word on you guys and I guilt you into service. Service for God and service to others comes out of a revelation of how much God loves me. And I can't not do this. I can't not do this. I've got to express my love because I have a revelation of how much I am loved. When a child knows that their father loves them, not only do they return that love, but there's something else really wonderful that happens. And let me illustrate that by saying this. Probably for the last 15 years or so, I've had the great opportunity, and I think this is the first year probably since 1993 that I haven't been to New Zealand. I do a lot of work with Tear Fund over there and love ministering in New Zealand. Probably for about the last 15 years, one of my children have always taken turns to come to New Zealand with Dad. And it's great. Blokes, we've got to make memories for our kids. And my two adult children still often reminisce about the fun stuff we do in New Zealand when we go to New Zealand with Dad. One of the cool things about New Zealand is not only do we go there and minister and visit many churches and just have a great time of ministry there, but New Zealand is a really cool place to do some pretty extreme stuff. And so we always have an opportunity to go either lugeing or jet boating or one of those activities that New Zealand is renowned for. And here's the thing. These little kids, they've got to be 9 or 10 before they can go to New Zealand with Dad. But there will always be an activity that I kind of stretch and I say, this is going to be a blast. You'll have so much fun. But they are so fearful about it. They're so fearful about it. But here's the thing. They do it not because they have mustered up the courage in and of themselves at 9 or 10 years of age to overcome their fear. They do it because they trust my love for them. And they overcome their fear because they know that their dad loves them and would not place them in a situation of harm. And so they trust their dad's encouragement, they trust their dad's love, and it is their dad's love that helps overcome their fear. And they get on these things and they have an absolute blast, and they send me broke because they want to do it every day. But here's the thing. God's word says, and I think it's the next scripture there, Bev. Perfect love casts out all fear. Is that what it says? There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. When you have a revelation of how much God loves you, that is the key to overcoming so many areas of fear in our lives. Just going, you know what? My dad's got this. My dad's got this. I might be fearful about this situation right now, but I trust his love for me. I trust that he would not mean me any harm. And so, God, here I am. I'm going to jump, and I know that you will catch me. That makes sense to you this morning? And I encourage you, when we can come to this place of understanding how much God loves us, when we understand how much God loves us, it's easier to trust him. But friends, if you don't understand how much God loves you, you're always going to be wondering, does God care about me? Can I truly take him at his words? And I think that until we experience this love in its fullness, we're going to be up and down and all over the place. And our love for him will never be enough, because our love is always changing dependent upon our circumstances. Sometimes we can be on fire for God. Sometimes we can be lukewarm at best. But God's love for you never changes. You know, last week we went out to Fitzroy Island off Cairns, had a day trip out there, but the sea was pretty rough. And so the crew were getting around to handing out sick bags to everybody. And then the captain says, you know, the best thing to do, get some fresh air. He said, but either look to the horizon or look to the mountains that are still very visible, and get a fixed point of reference. Don't stick your head down, because your only point of reference is going to be the rocking of the boat. And this is the key to overcoming this uncertainty and the unsettledness, is to look at a fixed point that is sure and secure. And in the same way, friends, life is going to be full of turmoil. It's going to be full of rough waters. But God says, you can trust my love for you. You can trust my love for you. Look to the horizon. Look to a fixed point that you know is sure. This is one of the wonderful things about God's love. It is so sure. It is so certain. Lift your gaze from your circumstances and allow God just to remind you that he loves you. That he loves you. Fix your eyes on the one thing that does not change. Friends, God's love never ever changes. Jeremiah 31 and 3, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Let me finish with this. The psalmist writes this, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit, you know when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. And your right hand will hold me fast. Friends, whatever it is you're going through, wherever it is that you are at in life, God is there and God loves you. He loves you right where you're at. He loves you just the way you are. And when we start getting this revelation of how much God loves us, we can move from a position of just fighting and just trying so hard to somehow feel that it's about me staying on track with God, to coming to a position that is so liberating and so freeing, of just allowing God's love to wash over us and to know I am secure in him, not because of what I do, because what I do must be a response to knowing what he has done for me. Otherwise, it's just going to be hard work and disciplined religion. And when we have this revelation of God's love, that's the place where we find consistency. That's the place where we find stability. That's the place where we find steadfastness. Because it's not us relying on us. It's us relying upon Him and that revelation of His love. Friends, what are you building your life on? Are you just building your life on you and your disciplined religion, your disciplined way of life for Him? And I'm not saying we don't need to be disciplined to God's word and disciplined to prayer and all those things that are so key to us maturing in Christ. But those things just come because I love Him. I got to pray because I love Him. I got to read His word because I love Him, because I just have that response of knowing how much He loves me. And that revelation of God's love leads to that fullness of God's life in you, the fullness of God's Spirit in you. It comes out of that revelation of His love. Again, our key text, Ephesians 3 and 7, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Friends, can I tell you this morning, the love of God for you is greater than you can possibly imagine. And I pray this morning that you can have this revelation that God simply loves me for me. He loves me for me. He loves me right where I'm at. And you can this morning be feeling as far away from God as anybody has ever felt. God still loves you. He doesn't love you any more. He doesn't love you any less.